Let's look together at the book of Job. And we will look at chapters 16 and 17 this afternoon. Again, hear the word of our Lord. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. O earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor. For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. My spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden their heart from understanding. Therefore, you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please, come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is near, they say, in the face of darkness. If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? It almost seems that we could read right on from Psalm 69 into Job 16 and wouldn't skip a beat. If this was just some sort of reading at a coffee shop or something, you might have a hard time guessing that we weren't reading from the same passage. But we see clearly in the Psalter the brokenness of Christ. And we see clearly in Job the brokenness of Job with hopefulness toward Christ. The opening section of chapter 16, we see Job's pathetic counselors. Job's pathetic counselors. He has to confront them again and again. That literally all they're doing is blowing hot air. And he tells them, I could do that. If you were sitting in my place, if you were on the ash heap, and I was in the circle of friends around, I could do what you're doing. But Job points back to what we read early on in the book. Do you remember that? As Eliphaz rebukes Job, he talks about the ministry that Job has had. He says, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. Points to Job's ministry. Of course he goes on, but now it comes upon you and you are weary. It touches you and you are troubled. Is not your reverence, your confidence in the integrity of your ways, your hope, and on the accusations begin to fly. Job's pathetic counselors who didn't know enough to point him to the Redeemer, to point him to the promised one to come. But that wasn't Job's only problem. Secondly, we see Job's powerful contender. Job's powerful contender. The Lord himself was in contention with Job, it seemed. He is the one tearing him apart. You have made desolate all my company. Job might say, I've lost my sons, I've lost my daughters, I've lost all of my assets. I have my wife and I have my friends. And my wife counseled me to curse God and die. And my friends are proving to be no friends at all. He was surrounded by desolation. Even where he might have found life was barrenness. He's shriveled up. He's lean. Some of you know what it is to have such grief or anguish in your soul that your body rejects even the most comforting of foods. So he's getting it from above. He's getting it from below. He's getting it from all around. God has delivered me to the ungodly. He turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. Taken by the neck, he set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. And we want to cry out to Job and say, your suffering matters because it points so clearly to the suffering of Christ. While Job's suffering redeems no one, Christ's suffering redeems all of God's people. All who put their hope in Him. None will be turned away. None will be ashamed. This is reflected even in Job's physical condition. Number three, Job's physical condition. I have sewn sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death, although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Have you seen someone who is at such a point of life that all they can do is cry, and they try to pull themselves together to be in public, to come to worship, to go to the store, to just do something normal, but everywhere they go, they're reminded of the loss. They're reminded of the pain. I've had the honor of ministering to two mothers who lost sons, in humanly speaking, before their time. One was a mother in Pittsburgh whose son was killed in an ATV accident. And in turn, upon hearing the news, his pregnant wife lost the baby that she was carrying. And this mom struggled to even want daylight in the house. She would come and attend worship, but she was a ghost. She was a shadow of the person that she once was. Another, a mother who lost her son in what they presumed to be a gang execution. He was rooming with a young man who got crossways with some guys that he shouldn't have, and they found upon the investigation that her son had been locked and tied up in a closet in one of the bedrooms while his friend was tortured for a number of hours and killed, and then they came and killed him. And it broke her. It broke her. To imagine her baby boy in that moment, what he must have heard, what he must have felt, what he must have thought, and to know then that they were coming for him. We have friends in Sterling, as I shared a number of weeks ago, whose 15-year-old son was killed when he and his brother were in a car accident, hit by another car, and their truck rolled out in the field, and he was thrown out and killed at 15 years of age. And each season, he was athletic, he was in the music programs, it's a small town, everybody does everything. And each concert, each game, each awards banquet, he's not there. All of his friends are, but he's not there. The brokenness of the human experience. It's not just death. It's divorce, it's abandonment, it's children rebelling against parents, it's parents despising their children, it's factions in the community, it's brokenness in the church. We're surrounded by it. And here, Job is exhibiting to us physically what we experience spiritually in these moments. Laying of the head in the dust, the mourning, the face flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Even his physical condition spoke of the heaviness that he was undergoing and accusation from his friends. But here we have a turn where we begin to see Job's hopefulness a little bit. And fourthly, we see Job's pleading Christ. I love these statements throughout the book of Job that seem to offhandedly, you want to say, do you realize what you're asking? Do you realize what you're saying? O earth, do not cover my blood and let my cry have no resting place. Surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as man pleads for his neighbor. Job, that witness in heaven, he is the one who became man so that he might plead with God for you. We have a mediator, the God-man, Christ Jesus. He is the one who pleads with God for us. He stands between. He argues our case. And what case could we possibly have? Well, we need to take heart because he argues the case that we are covered by his blood. That our sins are washed white as snow because he has cleansed us by his Spirit. Fifthly, we see Job's provoked cry. Job's provoked cry. It's almost as if his friends are jabbing at him. It's almost as if they're delighting in what he's going through. And as we would say, rubbing his nose in it. But as he says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Even with the gospel hopefulness that Job had, even with the understanding that we have of who Christ is and what he has done and the hope we have in heaven, that does not mean that at times we are just broken. It does not mean that we won't reach those moments of despair where we know all the glories of Christ, but we feel hopeless. We feel forgotten. We feel provoked. All he wants is fellowship from God or man. He'll take who he can get. But he looks at his friends and he understands they're not going in a good direction. And so he cries out the reality of what he is facing. This flies in the face of movements like the positive confession, where if you just say enough that everything's okay, everything will be okay. You might try it this week. You know, log on, see how much money is in your bank account, and then log off and say, I have more money. I have more money. I have more money. I have more money. And log in again. See how it does. If it works, I'll give you my account. You can transfer some over. I'm sure you won't mind since you can just do it again. No. Scripture drives us to honesty. Not high-handed accusation against God. But it calls us to honesty. And when we understand that by the Spirit's working, Christ is drawing us to Himself. Come, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't think that you can or must rest up so that you are appropriate for Christ. Don't think that you must be strong so that you can burst into His presence. Don't think that you must have it all together before you collapse before Him in prayer. From the greatest anguish to the slightest desire, we're to pour out our hearts before God. Honesty about the pain of the realities of this life, and even the part of this life that are the trials that the Heavenly Father in His difficult providence calls us to suffer through. And we should most assuredly turn to Him. Sixthly, we see the one to whom we should turn. We see Job's prophesied Christ. But He has made me a byword of the people, and I have become one in whose face men spit. My eye has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. We read in the prophets of what became of the visage of Christ, that he was marred beyond human recognition, that he would not be recognizable. The sorrow of Gethsemane, the physical despair of the crucifixion, and yet the righteous one held to his way. Christ was the one with clean hands, and he and his kingdom grow stronger and stronger with each passing moment. It's these little glimpses of Jesus along the way that give us hope in the book of Job. He has been completely undone. Nothing has turned out the way he thought it was going to. And yet, sometimes through seemingly obscure references, sometimes through blatant statements that are applied to our Savior, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. And so lastly, we see Job's promised comfort. His promised comfort. But please, come back again, all of you. If that was me, I'd say, come back when you can't stay as long. For I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past. My purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. I don't even have any dreams left. What could I even possibly hope for? If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister. If I just embrace this reality that I'm going down. If I understand that just this life is done, it's over, I quit, I'm just going to sit here and wait till I breathe my last, and you can bury my body, and corruption can comfort me, and the worm can wiggle around and soothe my heart. Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? The next time Job speaks, he speaks very clearly to where his hope lies. That it's not in the dust of the earth, it's not in the grave, it's not in dying like a dog so that all the suffering is done and he will no longer know or be known. His hope is in his living Redeemer. His hope is in his living Redeemer. As should our hope be. The trials come. The pains and the anguish of life wash over us in waves that seem to be unrelenting at times. But our Redeemer lives. And we will stand with him on that day. Stand with me as we pray.